This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Burris struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Cardinals fans, you are listening to Ruffled Feathers right here on Two Birds on a Bat, coming to you from the patio studios. This show is brought to you by Patterson Tire and Service, which is a whole lot more than a tire store. We got a lot to get through tonight, or today, whenever this comes out. I think it comes out on Tuesdays. But we have a lot to get through nonetheless. We got a little bit of a list here, not a lot of time, so I want to get to one piece of business before we get into the show here. You probably noticed that you're listening to my voice. I'm Ron. I've been on Ruffled Feathers now for a little over almost a year and a half. Gosh, I can't believe it's been that long. You notice the big guy's not here, Jim Kromer. Jim's schedule, as you all know, you've heard him talk about it before on Gators Baseball Academy. He does a lot of work with them. He does a lot of work with coaching. His schedule has just gotten crazy. If you remember over the summer, he wasn't here either. So I had to fill in and kind of carry this Tuesday edition throughout the summer until he returned. It's going to be the same story here. So for the foreseeable future, you guys are going to have to deal with me on Tuesdays. And we'll have a little bit of a rotation here at the beginning, but we'll settle in. And as we all wait on the, I think, all but official information on the signing of Yadier Molina, we're going to get into some other things too, as well as the Patterson Tire and Service text line. Got a couple interesting questions that came through on that one today. But before I continue, I am not going to do this alone. It's pretty scary. I know this guy here does his solo show. I've tried it maybe a dozen times or so, and I'd like to think that I could do it, but it's a hard thing to do. So I'm not up to the task right now, so I've called in some help this week. He does the podcast over at Gateway City Sports called 2 for 3. You can call him Mike. You can call him Michael, but I like a fair amount of people call him Moose. But Michael Stevenson is joining me tonight, and we're going to get through this together. Michael, thank you for taking your evening out. I know that you've got a kid at home. You were trying to get him ready for bed. I know that. Trust me, I know that, man, times four. So I feel for you.
Oh, absolutely.
But
and you know, you told me 8:30, and then it was 7:30, and then I realized that you're an hour ahead of me. So I'm in Central Time.
Oh, you're in Central Time. Okay. Well, yeah. I totally could have waited an hour, but that is the challenge. For some reason, I was thinking you were on Eastern Time, but I don't know. Whatever.
Well, we're right there by the line. Yeah. I live in Nashville, so you know you're only a few minutes away from Eastern Time.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, and I don't know where that stopped. Coming originally from Illinois, it was always easy. It was Indiana. Right. As soon as you cross the state line, you're in a different time zone. And I know in other places it's a little trickier. But all right, Michael, look, we've got all but official announcement. This has been known for a long time. This is not a shocker. It's not a surprise. From what it looks like, you pointed this out, excuse me, before we hit record tonight. And that is, it looks looking like a one-year deal, which I'm actually happy to hear. But your thoughts on
this? Absolutely. It's good he's going to be back. I thought he was going to be back regardless after Wainwright signed. Simply because I don't think he can really see him going anywhere that Waino wasn't going to be. And conversely, if he had signed somewhere else first, I think Waino would have followed him had the team had any interest. But, you know, it's good. It's a one-year deal. It gives Ivan Herrera another year of development, hopefully, that they get another year of development in with all the craziness going on with the pandemic. Gives Andrew Kinsner a little bit more time. And more importantly, with a pitching staff that does have, in my opinion, a few more questions than maybe we're ready to admit, it's good to have somebody like Yadi back behind the dish to help guide that pitching staff. But even more importantly, it's another year as a Cardinal. Is he going to play after this year? Who knows? But he's back in the fold for 2021, and that's the only season we're really worried about right now.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think once we knew Adam was returning, this is pretty, in my mind at least, it was all but just imminent, right? We're just waiting for the official word. But when it starts coming from guys like Derek Gould and Ken Rosenthal, I no longer really question it as a rumor anymore. It's just a matter of when, not really if. The 1 year does me, for the same reasons, actually. You know, part of me, you know, Andrew Kisner just turned 26. You know, for another organization, he would have been, his playing time would have started by now, right? His development's over. They would have gotten him going, right? And I kind of thought the Cardinals could have taken that direction going into 21, and I would have been okay with it. I was torn, and we've talked about it before, I think, on a roundtable we did not too long ago. Look, the fan in me wants to see him play his entire career start to finish in a Cardinals uniform. I want that pure statue out there, right? That one that he was with this organization the entire time. The fan in me really wanted that, but I would have understood if the organization would have went a different way.
I've got to admit, I'm in the minority on this. After all this business of talking about he wanted to be respected, and let's face it, whenever a player talks about respect, what they're talking about is getting paid. And I feel like Yadi got paid. And I kind of have a love-hate relationship with him. I wanted to be a Cardinal for the rest of his career, too. But it got to a point during this offseason where I'm like, I honestly hope he doesn't even sign. And simply because he's going to want to play every day, which is one of the things we love about him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, that also means the catcher of the future, whether that's Kinsner or whether that's Herrera, is not going to play at all. And he's very, very vocal about if he gets benched or if they ask him to take a day off and all this. So I don't know. It's a one-year deal, which is about all I would have offered him. You know, there was rumors out there about a one-year deal with maybe a mutual option for 2022. But my gut tells me this is probably it for him and Waino. I think Mo's throwing in all the chips, and I know we're kind of bouncing here just a little bit. In on the season with Arenado, I still don't think he's done making moves, and we can get to that in a little bit too, but I think this is an all-in thing to try to get the Cardinals over that hump and back into the World Series.
Yeah, well, we'll get to, I think, what is last on the list here tonight or towards the end. All the chips in when you're looking out there west, you got to wonder how many chips you actually need, but we'll get into that later. Yeah. Just to kind of cap off the Molina thing, look, you know, I know there's some people that feel a little bit like you do, and I understand that point of view. I don't happen to be one of them. It, part of me is this. Yes, a lot of this is sentiment, right? It's just sentimental. It is. I don't like the word, use the word nostalgia, but it's there. You know, look, maybe never in our lifetimes again will we ever get to see a career start and finish with the same organization. Now, you know, it just,
much less two at the same time.
Exactly, right? And yeah, I know Adam Wainwright was traded in the minor leagues, but his whole major league career, he's been a Cardinal, right? Those guys will both have their numbers retired. You'll see Waino, you'll see Yadi, you'll see those names up there, along with, you know, Lou and Gibby and all the others. I probably won't see it again in my lifetime, right? And so I want to see it here. So this is selfish of me a little bit. But look, I don't know what's amazing. I don't want to jump the gun on this one either. But yes, they're more in on 21 than what we thought weeks ago. We thought 21.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of us, we thought it was going to be a push. Just get us to 22 and we get all these salaries off the books and we're done. Last thing on this is that, look, I would have hated to see Waino and Yadi finish their career in an empty stadium. And that was the last time they ever wore Birds on the Bat. That would have sucked, man. It really would have. And, you know, I understand it's a business and I understand, you know, the strategy and directions that organizations have to settle on and they have to take, make a plan, stick to it. That would have been terrible. That would have been a terrible way to end their Cardinals career in an empty stadium. That's the last time they ever put that uniform. I would have hated to see that. So again, maybe it doesn't make logical sense in terms of baseball to the scientists, but to me, like, I want to see him go out with the crowd there.
Do you think a lot of this nostalgia has to do with the fact that Pujols left? If Pujols was still here, like, for instance, just say that theoretically, you know, the Cardinals gave him that 10, 11-year deal, whatever it was he was looking for, and he was still here. Do you think anyone would care if Molina resigned or didn't, even when he did that extension for the 3 and 60?
You know what? I've always questioned this, and this is all, you know, we can go back and forth on this. I think if they keep Albert at what he got, I wonder if Waino and Yachty would have even been here this long.
Yeah,
that money had to go somewhere, right? And I really feel that they might have been able to keep one of the two, Mike, but I don't know if they keep both of them, or I don't know if they're able to if they're paying Albert at the same time. So I don't even think it would have been an issue at this point.
Oh, no, you know, you're probably right about that. But, okay, so money aside then, if they're all three here, if Pujols probably overshadows everybody else.
I think no doubt. And you don't know how his career would have – you know, you don't know what would have happened had he stayed in St. Louis. You don't know if it would have went the same way as when he went to Anaheim. We don't know. I mean, those are different paths.
Little aside here, fingers crossed, if they do a DH, that player to be named later, it wouldn't hurt my feelings at all.
Oh, can you imagine, right? If they make that last, and that's a topic I avoided this week, so I don't want to talk about the DH anymore because it's just frustrating that we don't have an answer to that. But yes, I look, that's one of the things that passed right through my brain. As soon as we were recording live last Thursday on Team Arrivals, that tweet went around of him getting dealt to LA, and that is, and we didn't know it was a player to be named at the time. We were on the show actually trying to figure out what the heck was going on. When it was a player to be named, that's one of the first things that passed through my brain was, wouldn't that be something if there was a DH?
Just trading salary, you know, we're already paying for Fowler. Let's say, tell the Angels, just keep paying for Pujols, and
there you
go. Swap players that we don't really want to have on the team anyway.
Hey, Mike, we probably could have gotten Colorado to cover some of it.
So we'll see how that one winds up. It's probably going to be some single or double A guy that we'll never actually hear from.
Probably not.
In the majors.
All right. So look, there have been probably hundreds of Cardinals podcasts up to this point, articles, and everybody's commented on reaction to the Nolan Arenado trade. I'm glad Nolan Gorman wasn't a part of that.
I was about to say, did something happen that I was not aware of?
Yeah, So Nolan Arenado, there's nothing we can say right now that hasn't already been said, but what people are going back and forth, a lot of noise on Twitter about, okay, what happens to the lineup then? How does he shake it up? Where does it allow people to finally position themselves? So if you were looking up and down this lineup, where do you have Arenado and Goldschmidt? Most people say 3-4 or flip them around either way, but ideally what's your lineup looking like and how does that impact the rest of the guys?
Well, first of all, I still think the lineup's short. A bat. And maybe that bat is Carlson. Maybe it's not. But as far as that goes, your 2 through 5 should be Carlson, Goldie, Arenado, DeJong. They're not going to do it now because Ozuna signed with the Braves. I was really hoping they'd bring Ozuna back. And that would lengthen that line where you could slot him in at 5 and DeJong at 6. And then you, in my mind, would kind of be set, but since that's not there and they're going to let these young guys play in the outfield, and they may turn out to be awesome, you know, just awesome. I don't think Bader's going to do anything crazy. You know, I think we know who he is at this point. Same thing with O'Neill. So 2 through 5, Carlson, Goldie, Arenado, and then DeJong with Molina back in. I don't really like Molina at 6, but he's kind of the best you got.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves Edmund, who I think probably has to lead off or at least get the chance to lead off. And then you could just flip a coin for O'Neill or Bader, whoever's going to bat 7th, 8th. I mean, there you go. That's really all I got for you. I don't know what other moves he's going to make. They need another bat. Edmund needs to get the chance to be the leadoff hitter. I really do, because I don't know. And who else on the team could do that?
Carpenter, but there's no position for him.
Exactly. And it's Carlson, you know, I think Carlson in the number 2 spot, if he ends up hitting the way we think he might, is going to allow Edmund to get those pitches so he can lead off. That's just going to make things better for Carlson with Goldie behind him, Arenado behind Goldie, so on and so forth until you get the Molina. And then that's really the issue. So 6, 7, 8, 9, I'm not going to call them easy outs, but it definitely doesn't have the weight that those first those first six spots got. So they, I scratched my head over this a lot because I was going to do an episode today, except they got home too late to really talk about it. I don't know. They need another bat. They need one more bat.
Yeah, you think, you know, if you were 100% all in, I don't think we're going to see that bat. But I was thinking it. I was thinking that when this Fowler trade happened, but I don't think it's going to shape up that way. I think the Fowler move is for several reasons. The biggest one, though, I think, is to clear the way to get these guys consistent playing time to figure out what they can offer you. And they still don't know yet. I mean, a lot of us fans think we know. We think we know, kind of know who Bader is. We kind of think we know who O'Neill is. I feel that way. We don't really know Carlson yet. We just haven't seen enough of him, but there's a lot of upside there, we think. And this outfield could be okay. Would they have been that much better at keeping Fowler? I don't think so, but.
Well, defensively, the outfield is going to be great.
Defensively, yes. Yeah, I totally agree. Way better than it was when Marcel was out there patrolling left field.
Yeah.
Going up for home Spider-Man. Runs that hit the warning track. I mean, still my highlight of 2019, to be honest with you. But, you know, the impact of this lineup, what I love about it is that regardless of where you want to hit Arenado and where you want to hit Goldschmidt, it's allowing a Paul DeJong to not have to be pretend cleanup guy. O'Neill to not be pretend cleanup guy. Those guys just cannot do it right now. They're not fit for that position in the order. They can spot start there from time to time. We've already tried. We have tried DeJong there many times. You know, the Cardinals lineup is always stronger when you're not having to bat Yadi fifth. But I tell you what, sometimes you don't have anybody better, and he's one of the best contact hitters. I mean, I'm sure somebody can throw a stat at me that says he's not. But a situational hitter, I don't think they have anybody much better than Yadi in a situation. He can put a bat on a ball if he has to.
You know, before they got Arenado, I always thought sometimes that maybe DeJong on a bat should have batted third with Goldie behind it. And I thought that probably would have helped him out, but where does that leave Goldie getting garbage pitches?
Exactly,
a lot of garbage pitches anyway.
Yeah.
So, like you're talking about, but when you talk about the Cardinals being all in and they're trying to see what they have in the outfield, that doesn't really feel like they're all in though, does it?
Yeah, that's the kind of where I was going with that. It's like if you were all in, that we would have been able to, or been looking harder at one of those corner outfield spots, really strengthening it to give that 3-4-5 some kind of combination. Now, trust me, look, man, if we wouldn't have made any moves right now, we thought it would ended up being a push. Like we all kind of thought it might. Imagine being a pitching coach or a pitching staff and you're coming to St. Louis. Are you, how much midnight oil are you burning figuring out how to get through that lineup? Now you got to think about it a little bit more because you do have Arenado there. Imagine if you had, to your point earlier, imagine if an Ozuna came back or if they were able to get Jacques Peterson or somebody else to bat fifth. Now you're talking somebody who's, you know, they're gonna burn some calories worrying about how they're going to prepare for the St. Louis lineup.
Well, an interesting note, they did say that apparently Mo had the framework of a deal for Jacques Peterson while the whole Arenado thing was going on. So it sounds like he was trying to work those at the same time, meaning – I'm assuming, meaning he was hoping to bring both of them in. That being the case, you don't know. They could still bring in somebody. I know there's people out there with like an Andrew Benintendi trade. Mm-hmm. I think if anybody else comes in, they're going to just spend the money. Because now that they got Molina, now they got Waino, you know, they got Arenado on the books. They know exactly how much money they have there to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And what about a Marwin Gonzalez? Guy like that.
Mike, you just about throw any name at me right now you want to, and that's all of a sudden going to become the best St. Louis outfielder. And Jim and I have been doing this for weeks, like, you know, going back to looking at Eddie Rosario or Kyle Schwarber or Jacques Peterson. Obviously, I'm not talking about defensively. I didn't throw out any defensive wizards just now. I'm talking offensive with offensive capability. Just about any name you can throw at me right now, I'm going to say, well, that's probably instantly the Cardinals' best hitting outfielder. We don't, with the exception of let's figure out what we got in Carlson here because we all want to see it. We just haven't seen it yet. He hasn't had enough time yet.
And O'Neill, you know, since O'Neill's probably going to get the at-bats finally, like, well, he got a consistent bat last year, but last year was weird with just a shortened season. You never know. Maybe he finds his groove. I mean, Yadi couldn't hit a lick, it seemed like, until, 2013? 2012. Like after Pujols left, Yadi started hitting like good.
Yeah, I don't know if the, I don't know if that timing is exactly right, because I think I remember Pujols still being here and Yadi was kind of coming into his own. I'd have to look year over year. I don't know. You might be right, but yes, Yadi, absolutely. What I agree with is he stepped up his game offensively after Pujols left. Absolutely, and I think he learned a lot from him. And you know, like I said before, you give me one at bat there, where that runner on second base has to be moved over to third. I'll take Molina every time. He just knows what to do in those situations. You know, he always has.
He's just going to boop it right over into the right field.
Yeah, or hit it to the right side. Or just hit it on the ground to the right side like you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. And he's able to do it. And I see so many people. I mean, I'm not going to name the players, but there's too many guys that swing and miss and their face is staring at the left field wall. And that's what we get. That's what we're fatigued with seeing.
That's what I'm excited about with Arenado coming into this lineup, though. You know, I like Matt Carpenter. And regardless of how anyone feels about Matt Carpenter, because believe it or not, I've seen people on Twitter upset about the Arenado trade because their favorite player was Matt Carpenter.
Well,
which I understand.
Sure.
You know, yep. I get it. You know, the salsa stuff, and he endeared himself to fans. But I'm so sick of these players that are basically just trying to do the Mortal Kombat uppercut to the baseball every time because they don't know how to hit the other way into, out of the shift. And it seemed like every player on the Cardinals, except for Goldschmidt, was doing that. And Yadi.
Right.
Occasionally. So
I'd probably throw Edmund in there too. I think he's a pretty
he's
a pretty smart hitter. So going back to the original question though, I'm like, I think my lineup is, it's so much like what you had mentioned. I think right now, I don't know the better option to bat leadoff. If Bader could just make consistent contact, you've got him leadoff every day of the week.
Sure.
But he doesn't.
He'd be on second on a bunt.
Yeah. Or beat out anything on the infield if it's hit soft, mm-hmm. enough, you know? And so, I'd love to see him use that speed more, but he has to make contact more. So right now I really have to go Edmund. And I agree with you. I want to see Carlson handle that second position. I think it's key. Plus he's a switch hitter and it kind of breaks things up a little bit. Right. So, I think Edmund's a switch hitter too. So that's great. You know, you've got the combination of, Edmund, Carlson, both switch hitters, and you've got two right-handers behind him. So I think that's pretty strong. I'd love to see that left-handed bat though in the corner outfield spot, but we don't have it. And I agree. DeYoung's your guy for right now until he just proves he can't. Carpenter, I like Carpenter's bat off the bench, and seven, eight, whatever. Bader, O'Neill, just take your pick. You know, flip them around. I don't care.
Flip a coin.
It doesn't matter. They both have speed. So if they bat eighth and they can just happen to get on base every once in a while, that's great. I wish I would have went first. Yeah, I kind of had the same thing in mind you did. And probably about like a 6 million other Cardinal fans are probably thinking the same thing. So we're not revealing anything here. I want to move on to something.
Well, Bader.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, real fast, you're talking about Bader, you know, maybe trying it out. If he's hitting in front of Carlson, you know, let's just say again, Carlson's hitting like we think he might. You got Goldie and Arenado behind him. Is Bader just not making contact because he's swinging at garbage pitches? Or is he just not a good hitter?
Well, I've heard a lot of things, but the thing I didn't watch enough, and I think this came from mostly 2019 and not so much 2020, is that he sets himself up to get himself out on those off-speed pitches because he takes too many pitches that he can hit.
He's got the Matt Carpenter syndrome of Matt right. Carpenter doesn't matter what he does. First pitch straight down the middle, he'll never swing at it. You throw it outside, he looks like chopping down a tree.
I totally miss Matt Holliday taking that Viking violent hack at the first pitch every time. Yadi does that too. He's known for taking a hack at that first pitch. But I miss that. Look, I get why those guys did it for the longest time. You know, you could get a pitcher extended. So you work his pitch count up. Like I understand the logic for doing that. But it does at times make for some boring baseball.
Well, if you've got a good pitch, if they're throwing it straight down the middle and you don't swing at it, that's probably going to be, in Matt Carpenter's case, it was the only good pitch he was going to see that entire at bat. Mm-hmm. And they knew it. He knew it. And that's because he took Mark McGwire. That was his philosophy. He made Carpenter take every first pitch. And then, for whatever reason, Carpenter just never let that go. Mm-hmm. You know, years later.
I mean, I understand the philosophy behind it, but, you know, I don't think last time I looked, I don't think Matt Carpenter's built much like Mark McGwire. So
No,
I don't know.
No, there's not a lot of fear in a think about how far we've come though. Remember when Matt Carpenter was the three hole hitter?
That was,
it was like what, yeah, like 2015?
2016? It was I think they tried him there a bit. I might have my years off here, but I think in 2016 they tried him there a bit. 16. Remember that was Holiday's final year with the Cardinals, and in 2017 he became the full time three hole hitter. Sometime in that season they had to move him back to leadoff. He's just it is one of those cases where you thought somebody was something that they're just not, and you tried to make them be somebody that they're not, and I think that was when we started to see the wheels fall off. I'm not saying that was the cause of deterioration year over year, but I do think that was that was a sign right there. Like he's not a middle of the order guy. He's just not. He's a role player.
They didn't have a real middle of the order guy until they got Goldie.
No, I agree. It's been a long time. I want to get to something else that happened on Thursday night. We were talking about it a little bit earlier, but there's a question around it. But before I get to that, I'd like to thank our featured partner, starting with Mike and his wonderful crew at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adam's is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, when it's safe, they'll open up in-house dining. So if you want the full experience, get on down there as soon as they open up. Check out Mike and the gang. Check out their menu. You're not going to be disappointed. That's Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. Don't forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with the game of baseball or softball, look no further than Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. All right, so Dexter Fowler news broke on Thursday night. He's traded. Mike, what did you think initially? Did you think that was opening up space for just to let the youngsters play? Or in the back of your mind, you're kind of hoping, maybe we get Ozuna back. Maybe we get somebody else. Maybe they're working another trade. Maybe it's Benintendi. It's like, what were you thinking at the time? Why did they do it? Was it to give the young guys an opportunity to kind of clear out all that clutter? Or was it to make an acquisition?
No, I think it was just to clear out the clutter. If they had sent the salary with him, then I'd say there's some kind of acquisition in the works. But they're paying all of it except for like just shy of $2 million or something. It's kind of the Cardinals' nice way of finding a place for him to play when they could have just as easily cut him and paid him all the salary too.
Right.
So no, it's about getting playing time for Williams and Thomas, making sure O'Neill and Bader get their advance. But I will say this, because they're doing that, we all get annoyed with Mo, and I don't want to bash on him because I don't think anyone should be allowed to bash on him after the Arenado thing, at least for a while.
He's bought himself some time. He really has. He's bought himself some time.
He's got some rope.
Yep.
but that being said, while we get annoyed with this whole, well, we want to see what we got, they do typically see what they get. And when you start seeing them make moves like getting Fowler out of there and stuff like that, that should be a message to these young guys, specifically Bader and O'Neill. Like, listen, there's a lot of salary coming off the books at the end of this year. So
we don't need either the cheap talent.
Exactly. Either you're ready for it and you can do it, or you can't, because if they don't do it this year, I think they're gone. They're going to get traded. Something's going
to
happen.
Well, you remember the message sent to the Cardinals in 2014, right? When Alan Craig and Joe Kelly were shipped out for John Lackey.
It was kind of
a similar message then. Like the team wasn't playing well. Something was going on. Something was wrong. And Mozeliak, I mean, he's not threatening when he wears that bow tie, but it should be scary as hell to all of it. It should be like the new Pennywise on, what was that movie, It? I mean, you see John coming with that bow tie, man, you could be dead. You know, hey, we all float down here in Tradesville, right?
Yeah.
So
maybe when he comes in wearing the scarf, you know, it's like a scene out of Godfather.
There you go. Yeah, I wore that.
Like, oh, God, he's got the scarf on.
Yeah, scarf might be more dangerous. But, you know, I give him credit, though. He will make the change when it's needed. Sometimes we feel it waits a little bit too long. And definitely, if they're not financially committed to something, they haven't been afraid to pull that trigger. I mean, look, they traded Mike Leake before his contract was up because it just wasn't working. I don't want to go down the Greg Holland path. That was only a year. Those are normally not a heavy risk anyway. But, yeah, they did move Fowler out and ate the salary. So they could have just as easily released him at some point and still paid the full. So.
Well, I mean, they have a similar commitment to a bench player now. Look at Matt Carpenter. You know, they could have easily said, like we talked about, no matter what they are, no matter what the Cardinals did, they were probably going to win the Central. Most likely.
I think they had a good chance.
The Cubs probably would be the biggest thing standing in their way. Just because they still got Javi Baez, they still got Rizzo, they still got Bryant. They don't get the pitching, but they still got the offense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can hear that or not, but I think my little boy just crashed something.
I hear it all the time.
But,
okay. Yeah. So that's why I bought this particular microphone, because you have to be like an inch from it to hear anything. So
exactly.
It's a circus behind me.
So with that being said, they could have easily said, you know what, Carpenter, we're going to give you one more year. Either you can do it or you don't. But they didn't, did they? They went ahead and they brought in Arenado because they knew they needed the offense. Now, there was also that little issue of Carpenter gets a certain amount of bats. He's automatically on the team next year, too. That's not happening.
I don't think that was happening anyway. No. Yeah, I think they were going to ensure that that wouldn't have. But they also, the timing lined up where the Rockies are desperate right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and that was this whole Arenado thing, for everybody listening, by the way. This only happened because it was a perfect storm of circumstance.
Yeah, of course.
In any other circumstance, there is no way the Cardinals walk away from this deal with Arenado, $51 million, and giving up basically no prospects. That just doesn't happen. So I feel like Mo, and I know it's not exactly what we're talking about, Mo's looking at this. You know, he's like, well, if we're going to do anything, now's the time to do it, especially since, you know, I can't spend any money. And
yeah.
They traded for Arenado, and their payroll went down.
It is mind-blowing. But you know what? We'll take it. We're all in on this one. So, look, I think it was a little bit of a hope in the back of my mind that by trading Dex off that there would be some other acquisition immediately following it. But they had to clear off a space. You know, they knew they were bringing Yachty back. Well, I agree. Hey, look, man, what fan base do you think putting Albert in that stadium in 2021 is going to bring the most revenue? There's no other team in the league. He means the most to St. Louis. If they brought him back, he would sell more jerseys, seats, tickets. It doesn't matter. Like, he's way more valuable to St. Louis than any other team.
You know, I'm just going to go on a limb and say I've got a little bit of hope about this, because they are saying it's a player to be named later. They still don't know about the DH. It could be Mo's like, listen, we get the DH in the National League. Go ahead and send him over. We'll take him. We'll take him back. You know, not that he's not that he should be the DH every single day.
Right, but we know who he is. Like who he is now. He's not the same player that left here in 10 years ago, right? We know who he is, but – my goodness. I mean, how exciting would that be just to have three players from that 2011 championship team on the same team?
Especially if all three of them at the same time just announced, this is our last year.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Like Pujol says, I'm done. Yachty says, I'm done. Waino says, I'm done after this year. Oh, man. That would be ridiculous.
I wish I had a Twitter poll up right now, because I would ask, is the only way that you're going to sell out a crowd during a pandemic is to have Wainwright, Pujols, and Molina all retiring in the same year in the same team? I mean, that may be the only way you pack the house this year.
You said three players from that 2011 championship team. Forgetting? Also three players from the 06 team.
Gosh, that's true. That's completely true.
Won the World Series.
Yeah, you're right. I was overlooking
that. Are
they
the only three left playing? It's them three and Verlander, right? They're the only four left.
Yeah, boy, I'd have to look at that one. Yeah, you might be right. I doubt Kenny Rogers is still playing.
No, Kenny Rogers ain't playing. And Verlander, that was Verlander's rookie year too. Was 06.
Was it? Yeah, I think you're right. And I don't know. That's a great question, though. I'm trying to think of that. My mind's going through that Cardinals roster. I'm like, yeah, I don't think anybody's.
There's nobody left there.
There's barely anybody left from 2011.
Pujols, Wainwright, Molina.
I think Descalso is still floating around out there.
Was Carpenter on the bench?
That was his rookie year. Yes.
That was his rookie
year.
He was
mostly on the bench. So, he didn't have very many at bats, but he was around. Descalso, John Jay, I think still alive.
Lance Lynn's still around.
Lance Lynn's still around, yep. I mean, there's a few, man, but they're starting to thin out.
Yeah, yes. Quick question. when was the moment that you realized you was older than the vast majority of baseball players and all your favorite players were like no longer playing
or in their 10th year of Hall of Fame eligibility? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, it was really weird because about 10 years ago I moved to North Carolina, but I think I was still, still in my front half of my 30s. So I think there was a fair amount of guys that were still playing that were at or older. I don't know. I think I missed a window, Mike. I think I looked up all of a sudden and I go, oh my God, there's nobody left. I mean, shit, I'm older than Tom Brady.
So, oh man.
I mean,
and Brady's out there with 7 rings.
I know. Gosh. Yeah. I didn't want to make this a Super Bowl show, but I don't know what's more impressive to me is just watching what happened yesterday. I'm still kind of just in awe. And what's amazing, not to get off on a football tangent real quick, I have to say, I feel compelled to say this. I looked at a guy after the game who won the Super Bowl MVP, and he looked like he didn't even play. Not tired, not beat up. I mean, just
oh no,
like he could have just kept going.
Brady is, I wasn't a Patriots fan. I'm not a Bucks fan. I live in Nashville. I'm a Titans fan. So I always cheer for everybody else anyway. But, we were part of a group messaging thread on Twitter. I think we're the only two pulling for Brady. And there's nothing against Patrick Mahomes. I think Mahomes is a stand-up guy. I think he's got a really bright future. And I know we're talking about football just for a second. Mm-hmm. But Brady he really is the greatest quarterback of all time.
If
you're in the Super Bowl and he's on the other side, you have to go, okay, next year.
The only we all know he's not better. The only person that can look at Brady and just grin a little bit that I got you would be Eli Manning. Because he got him twice.
The only
Super Bowl.
One,
the
yeah.
The only quarterback that can look at him and say, I got you twice. But that's it. That's only.
Yeah, it's it. And Mahomes is. And that wasn't on Mahomes on Sunday. That was. His O-line was awful. And he had no protection. And I don't buy in the Brady got the call stuff, but whatever. That's we're gonna spend too long on this.
I know. I already did. Hey, real quick. So I want to go here a couple more topics here to touch on real quick, and then we'll get out of here. But the Cardinals could sure use another arm. You know, when you think about it, you've got Wainwright coming back. He's going to turn 40 in August, right? As we were just talking mm-hmm. about Tom Brady, Wainwright's going to turn 40 at the end of August. It's going to be a heavier workload, assuming 2021. They get in a lot more games than they did in 2020. You have Dakota Hudson, who is, they've lost him for 21. Miles Michaelis recovering from elbow surgery. KK Kim, who's, looked effective last year, although his strikeout rate was down. You have Ponce de Leon, which I've never been impressed with him as a starter because you look up, it's the third inning and he's already thrown like 87 pitches. So they have a lot of arms, Mike, but I don't know that they have a solid one through five right now. In a year where you had a shortened 2020, I don't know if all these guys are ready to start going deep into games for 154 proposed or 162 game schedule, whatever it ends up being. It's a risk, right? So you can't have too much pitching at this point. But I think they could use another arm that can eat up some innings. Now, a lot of talk about Odorizzi. Of course, there's a few other names out there. But, I mean, what are you thinking about this? I have been on record many times saying I think they need one more.
No, they need another. They definitely need one more arm. I wouldn't be opposed in spring ball, if they gave John Gant a look. I think under the right circumstances, Gant could probably step in there. But then you also want something proven. So the three names I saw they were linked to was Jake Odorizzi, Taijuan Walker, and James Paxton. Mm-hmm. And I got to looking at these three guys. I'm just going to start off, just stay away from Taijuan Walker. And his stats last year looked awesome, but his BABIP was like insanely low. Like he got really lucky.
Yeah.
Paxton had kind of an awful year.
So did Odorizzi,
ERA was
north
of six.
Yeah. Odorizzi had a bad year too.
Well, the thing is, Paxton had a lot of bad luck last year, but his strikeout rate, he's like striking out 11 batters per nine for the third year in a row. Odorizzi, on the other hand, his BABIP pretty much stayed roughly consistent over the last few years. So last year he was just bad.
Well, yeah, he dealt with an injury. He didn't pitch much either. Yeah, he had a plus six ERA. I know he dealt with like a back injury or back stiffness or something. So he was limited. So he had kind of a strange, awkward 2020. But if you look at him 2014 to 2019, he's a pretty solid pitcher.
Yeah, he's solid. But looking at who's there, because I was with you, and I was talking to our friend Brian about this. Originally, I was like, yeah, Oda Rizzi, you know, hometown kid, be a good story. But I'm kind of thinking maybe Paxton.
So you're in the Paxton.
I think maybe they need to go Paxton.
You know what? I could go either way on this one. Really, I could. If they just brought in one, it reminds me of when they needed an innings eater and the Cardinals went out and got Supon that one year. You know, just a guy. He's not a flashy. He's not gonna be a Cy Young candidate, man. He's not even gonna crack the top 10. But he's going to be solid. He's gonna eat up 180 innings, 200 innings, and he's gonna give you a chance. He's gonna keep you in the game and control some damage. That's all I want. And if one of those two guys fit that bill, they could use it. I think they can use the help. So I do hope something like that comes to fruition. But I'm going to skip through the last question because it's just a fun one. It's actually part of our Patterson Tire and Service text line. So you know what? Y'all should please give our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store. They also specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote and set up an appointment today. Head on down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Find out where they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service. a whole lot more than a tire store. This comes to us from the text line. Two questions here. I really like him. Look, guys, do you really feel the Cardinals are now heavy favorites for the Central? I think we both said that already. Even without
the
Aaron Nola
move. Central easily.
Every time I've thought that way, something terrible has happened. But I think on paper right now, they have to be.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love for them to be, you know, this generation's version of that 2004 team, you could probably peg them for about 92 wins, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the Cubs will probably come in second, and they'll finish ahead of the Cubs roughly 6-7 games.
Yeah, and I don't want to blow past the now Gold Glove defensive Brewers at second base, but I kind of agree with you here. The Cubs can still be formidable. You know, if a lot of those guys that have had, you know, really underperformed or disappointed over the last few years, if a few of them just play to their potential, talking about a Chris Bryant or a Javi Baez, they're still going to be threatening. I mean, like, I know we've got a Goldschmidt bat and an Arenado bat in the middle of our lineup. We think they're going to be great for 21, but Mike, that's Javi Baez and Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant. Like,
and those guys are all playing for a contract.
That's scary. And I don't want to blow past any of that, because if those guys have good years, if one of them has an average year, two of them have above average, they're going to have the most formidable middle of the lineup in the division by far. I know they don't have the pitching, and I think that's what's going to sting them.
Yeah, and as well as what stings everybody. You don't get the pitching, you're pretty much dead in the water.
That's right. Well, the Cardinals have contended and, you know, won the division in 2019, contended against extreme circumstances in 2020 because of run prevention. That was pitching and defense. We all know. We all see it. We buy the MLB.TV ticket, and we get to see run prevention. That's what we've paid for the last 2 years. Mike, we haven't seen an offensive show, that's for sure.
Oh, no, not seen, no. No, I mean, the defensive stuff is great, and everyone's like, oh, okay, this is the way baseball is supposed to be played. But every time I saw Matt Carpenter hitting to the shift, or, you know, them not pitch to Goldie, I just want to be like, cool. I'm okay being second. It's awesome. Yeah. I love being second.
Second place was cool last year. I was shocked. So there's another one that came through. This is probably my favorite one. So these on the text line, they always come in without names, and I'm fine with it. I'm used to it by now. We always ask people to put their name to it. The last question on here, how does anyone get through the NL West? Which always makes me laugh when I realize, Mike, I did the math the other night. You guys saw this on the same Twitter group. We were messaging each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, look, Trevor Bauer signs for $40 million. So just assuming rough back of the envelope math that he makes 35 starts, that he averages 95 pitches per start. You do the math, man. Over a full season, he's getting paid $12,000 per pitch.
That's insane.
And that is funny as hell. I mean, if he goes to a 9-10 pitch at bat, he just made more than most people did in an entire year. It's just mind-boggling. $40 million for 2021.
I'm not on the Bauer hate train either.
No, I'm not either. I'm just saying, like, the money is just crazy.
You got to give the man credit.
Of course.
You know, and I told some guys, his deal is the future of baseball, by the way. These long 10-year deals.
Shorter term, you're talking, right? Yeah, shorter term.
Yeah, they're going to be shorter term, higher value. So $40, $45 million a year, you better get used to it. And the only thing he thinks about it is Flaherty is probably looking at that going, well, I'm better than Bauer.
No doubt.
You know? And
no doubt. So, yeah. Enjoy him while we have him, Cardinals fans. That's all we're saying right now.
But I did see that. I didn't see it. I'm part of another group. I think Brian's in it as well. It's a fantasy baseball group. David Price might be available. So you're talking about an arm.
Yeah.
Now I don't think he's going to come to the Cardinals. He's making what, $32 million or something crazy like that.
Yeah, and given what the Dodgers just shelled out, they're not eating as much as the Rockies like were willing to eat. I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Well, you want to know how you get through them. I feel like the Padres are kind of a bit of a paper tiger. Just going to be honest. I love the Padres. I love the uniforms. I love Fernando Tatis Jr. I love all those guys. But anybody who thinks they're going to seriously contend with the Dodgers is they're not really thinking right, in my opinion.
They've made it interesting, though. They have. I mean,
they'll make it interesting, but the Dodgers still have Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
They still have Mookie Betts. They still got Kershaw. Got Walker Buehler, who's their best pitcher, who's making next to nothing compared to the other guys. And the Dodgers are probably the only team that scares me in the National League. I mean, the Braves don't scare me that much. The Mets don't scare me that much. The Dodgers, they're the team, like, if you make it all the way to the playoffs, they're the team that you're hoping – they just hit some bad luck and get eliminated early.
Yeah. Well,
you know, that's a good way like to put that.
It, yeah. I don't know. The Padres are, I believe, are a legitimate threat. And I have dogged them for years about, you know, you remember the run they made where they went and got James Shields. They traded for the Upton brothers and they, you know, who's the closer? Craig Kimbrell. You know, they brought in a bunch of guys. They went on a run and then like got cold feet like weeks into it. They annoyed the hell out of me because they pilfered a couple Cardinals Rule 5 guys. And I don't know. It just got under my skin. My hatred towards the Padres is really unreasonable. It's not even justified. It's just kind of silly. I think they're going to make it interesting in the West. So I'm not quite the same spot as you as the Paper Tiger. But I understand what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of young people on that team. But I give them credit, though, for the last 3 or 4 years. They've added every year. Every offseason, they went and got Eric Hosmer. Then they got Machado. For Tatis came up. Now they traded for guys like Blake Snell. They're adding year over year. And I tell you what, I mean, there's got to be some excitement. If you're a San Diego's fan and you've been a loyalist for 10 years and they haven't really done much, you're probably pretty excited these days.
Well, sure. But, I mean, let's look at this.
I still don't like him, by the way.
I don't think Blake Snell is the pitcher everyone thinks he is. I'm not saying he's bad or anything like that. But are there... If I had my choice of the pitchers who were out there, he wasn't going to be in the top five.
Oh, sure. No, not in top five. I agree with that.
With you know, they went and got Hosmer. Would you rather have Hosmer or Goldschmidt?
I'm totally happy with who we have. And by the way, and I'm also happier with Goldschmidt than having Luke Voit here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, and I know it's not a positional matchup. And then again, nothing against Fernando Tatis Jr. at all. Mm-hmm. Would you rather have him or would you rather have Arenado?
That's a no-brainer, man. I'm going to tell you Arenado. Right now, I don't know. Man, yeah. I could flip on that one real quick. I'll be honest with you. I could flip. We don't know what Tatis Jr. is going to be years out from now. But I'm happy with who we have. I'm ultra thrilled.
I mean right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Not a future, not like a keeper league kind of thing. If you had to choose right now, Arenado or Tatis?
I don't know. You know what makes this tough? Is Tatis does this in Petco Park. Arenado does this in Colorado. And you don't know. Like, I'm not an ultra believer in the Colorado effect. I believe if you're a good hitter, you can be a good hitter anywhere. But damn, Tatis Jr. does it in Petco.
Oh, sure.
And that's sea level. I lived out there. That's sea level.
But at the same time, you know, you take a look at Arenado's like OPS in the National League at all the ballparks. And it's insane. It's over 1,000, I think, in most of them.
I'm happy with who we have. I wouldn't change it right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, would you rather have Flaherty or Snell?
Jack.
Exactly. I mean, I know we're Cardinals fans. That's what the show's about. But that's the point I'm getting at is, and then the Padres aren't bad. They're not better than the Cardinals. At best, I would say it's even. At best.
Well, I put it this way. Before the Arenado trade, I would say the Padres were potentially the more exciting team to watch just because of the youth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the flair and everything. It might have been more entertaining to watch Padres game. And I will be intrigued to watch San Diego and LA match up out there just during the regular season. That will be interesting to watch. Because I don't know how I'm going to fight through a Cardinals-Red series this year.
No. You're absolutely correct about that. And that's one thing Arenado brings that I've said for years when Harper was a free agent. And I would have paid Harper $25 million for 13 years if I was Mo, easily. And people are like, why? Isn't that great? And I'm like, well, because he's a young guy. He's a superstar. He's the face of not just a franchise, face of the league kind of superstar that we haven't really had since Albert Pujols. Mm-hmm. And we have this now in Arenado. By the way, Arenado with Goldschmidt together, that's the kind of duo on a team that makes other players go, I think I'd like to go to St. Louis now.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right, because that's what happened to the Cardinals in the 2000s, right? That's why guys would waive a no trade clause. That's why they were willing to accept trades to St. Louis or even seek them out in free agency. I know in free agency has never really been the Cardinals thing. They don't really win those bidding wars often, but via trade, they can get guys over into the organization and keep them there. And they've always been successful at doing that. So, yeah, I that's a all good point.
All the biggest acquisitions were trades, weren't they? McGuire.
Absolutely, yeah.
Eckersley, Edmonds, Roland. It didn't work out, but Mulder. Mark Mulder.
Yeah, Mark Mulder, yeah.
Wait, was he traded or did we just sign him?
No, that was a trade. That was Danny Heron. Danny Heron went the other way.
That's right. You know, all those guys, you know, but the guys they did sign that worked out, they were big names. Beltran, oh my gosh, Berkman, you know.
Berkman was a free agent signing in the offseason. He was a free agent signing. So was Beltran. Yeah, you're right.
So, you know, but those guys are also on the end of their careers, not.
Yeah, they weren't.
You know, Jim Edmonds was like in the prime of what he had going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's just how the Cardinals work. And
it's their formula. So how they've done it. That's how they built a core. Like they'll have one or two guys that they brought through the system. They drafted, they developed, they'll complement with a couple guys, key acquisition from a position of strength. And I don't know what the strength was during the Jocketty years, because, you know, Jocketty wasn't afraid to pull a trigger on those types of deals.
No. And Mo was there for those. He was the assistant GM. I don't think Mo is really scared to pull that trigger. Looking back on a lot of this stuff, you know, I used to give him a hard time about holding on to his prospects. Looking back on this stuff, I think a lot of that was DeWitt. I think DeWitt saw, you know, through the Jocketty years in the 2000s, there's a lot of success and a lot of great players that he got, but the farm system was fairly
depleted. Yeah, it was depleted by the time. Yeah, that's why they had to bring a guy in like Jeff Luhnow and everything to kind of rethink that whole thing, rebuild it. So, yeah, man, it's a great conversation tonight, and thank you for those who texted into the Patterson. I'm going to screw the name up again. My goodness, Patterson Tire and Service text line. We thank you guys for participating in that. It's always great to see. And Mike, you do a show called 2 for 3. I know you do it weekly. Mm-hmm. So just tell everybody where they can find you out there on Twitter, and how they can, you can find catch
me,
your show.
You can find me in Mike's on First. You can email the show. I should have looked this up. I believe it's 2for3stl@gmail.com. I think I'm going to have a phone number where you can text that up pretty soon. But you can listen to the show, gatewaycitysports.com. You can find it on Apple, Google, all that kind of stuff. Just leave me a 5-star review. So you saved me the trouble having to do my episode this week because I talked about the pitching stuff. And I try to get it out there weekly. Sometimes it's every couple of weeks. It just depends on, you know, life.
Yeah. Well, I know. Trust me. I know where you're coming from here. I got three of them under the roof here. I got a 15-year-old, and thank goodness this week has feels different. They all went back to school today.
Mm-hmm.
And my God, I could actually do my job today. I feel like I completely feel like a new guy. But Mike, I appreciate you hanging out with me tonight and doing the Ruffle Feathers this week. And before we leave, I'd just like to remind everybody, you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Please go to that site, click subscribe to the podcast. It takes only 30 seconds. Best of all, it's absolutely free. You can find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook. Just search Two Birds on a Bat. Like our page, share it with all your buddies. Share it with a Pirates fan. They're lonely right now. On Instagram, you can find us at Birds on a Bat Show, at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lightupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. All right, folks, glad you tuned in this week, and we'll be back next week, same time, same place. Every Tuesday, Ruffled Feathers right here on Two Birds on a Bat. Thanks again, Mike, and until next week, we love you all so much. Bye-bye, everyone. Let's go, Birds!